Loyal listeners, if you are interested in an ad-free version of this podcast, as well as getting some bonus content in the form of a couple posts a week, as well as some bonus podcast content from Shane and I, make sure you head over and support the Patreon at patreon.com/ndtechs and join new patrons Connor H. and Matt A. Thank you all for your continued support.
Since we are the loyal sons, we'll get them on the run, boys. We got them on the run. Yes, we are the loyal sons. We'll get them on the run, boys. We got them on the run.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the HLS Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Ritter. You can call me ND Tex, and as always, you can catch us on our podcast over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Make sure to join us over in Discord. That is our live chat channel at herloyalsons.com/discord. You can also make sure to head over to twitch.tv/herloyalsons for that sweet, sweet sim action. And of course, you can always find us at our home at herloyalsons.com. And with that said, it's time to bring in Eddie. Eddie, how you doing, sir?
Ryan, I have great news for both you and longtime listeners of this podcast.
Okay.
I am no longer feeling confident about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish this year.
Well, there we go. Yeah, it's been a little rough. I think that's safe to say. Just a little rough.
Can't say I had a whole lot of fun on Saturday afternoon, but, you know, we survived. Shit could be a whole lot worse. Hey, Florida State, how are you?
Oh, buddy. Oh, man. Jack, we're going to have fun with him in a few weeks. Oh, he's not going to want to say a word about football.
He's going to balk out and say his kid is crying or some bullshit.
Oh, man. So, full disclosure, he decided to send us a real precious picture of his kid holding her arms up in the air. Said, "Hey, Dad, Notre Dame's overtime field goal was good." He was not amused, but knew he set himself up for that bullshit.
Yeah, he pretty much well walked into that trap. Meanwhile, I was hoping the new iOS would have a feature to block people sending you baby pictures for people like me. I've been searching. I haven't found it yet. Cook, go ahead and holler at your boy. I got good ideas for you.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, Eddie. I'm just throwing that out there. Well, anyway, we are back with some more picks. And I tell you what, last week was pretty good. We differed in one pick, and I won that one. So I actually picked up a game on Eddie. I went 7-5. Eddie went 6-6. Brings me to 16-12-1. Eddie to 15-13-1. So both of us doing very, very good overall. So Eddie, I think we just need to keep the good times rolling, sir. What do you say?
It was a solid week, but there's always room for improvement. So let's go, baby.
All right, so let's go ahead and bring up that private beautiful board that Eddie and I got sitting in front of us. And we're starting off with a weird one, Eddie. Cincinnati goes on the road to Indiana. I'm guessing Vegas likes himself some home field magic or something, because Cincy only favored by 4 in this game, despite it opening at 1.5. Lots of action over on Cincinnati. A little bit worried about this one, Eddie, but interested to see how you're going to play this one, because I know where I'm going to go.
This line fucking stinks. There are cartoon stink lines coming off this. I understand, yes, Cincy played with their food last week. They were tied with Murray State at halftime. But they took, it was 35-0 in the second. They took care of business. Sure, Indiana went out and beat Idaho real bad, but we saw what happens against a live team in their first game against Iowa. The fact that this opened as a 1.5 and not an 11.5 point spread makes no sense to me. That being said, this early in the season, I can't do it. I cannot take Indiana over Cincinnati this early in the year. I'm going to go ahead and walk across this patch of leaves, that is definitely not covering a spike pit that will murder me very soon on Saturday morning. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I just can't do it. Give me the Bearcats.
It's a trap!
Yeah, Eddie, I don't blame you. This has every last marking of a trap. But I'm with you. This doesn't make any sense, and I know we should be careful about lines that stink. I know the smart play is going against the public that is so heavy on Cincinnati. We're talking 86% of the bets, 87% of the money. But I watched Indiana play. I can't get over that. I watched them play. They were not good. I still have questions about what Iowa is actually going to be able to do when teams decide to not hand them the ball repeatedly. And look, yeah, you called it, since he played with their food for a little while. But hey, we've seen teams do some weird things on Saturdays against inferior opponents. I'm just saying. So look, I'm going to take the Bearcats as well. They're a much better team than what they showed last week. And not only that, I don't think Indiana has it. I'm not trusting Penix to come out strong and hard as he has in the past. I have a feeling that the stamina just wore out there, Eddie. He had a busy year last year, and it's just needs more recovery time or something.
Some electrolytes for that kid already.
All right, next up, we got a full sicko game here, Eddie. Nebraska and Oklahoma. Oklahoma is a 22.5 point favorite. Total on this one is 61.5. And I know Spencer Rattler has shown that he's had some issues. I know that the OU defense lacks a lot to be desired. But I think Nebraska is probably just full on butt, Eddie. And I think that's being generous, because I've seen what's happened to the first team that beat them, the Illini, and God. I really have no idea how that team actually won a football game. So, transitive property, Nebraska sucks real bad, and I think OU is going to try to put this sucker together and have a little bit of a better performance. I like them to bounce back, even though they bit me pretty hard before on a big spread. I'm going to go ahead and ride with them again. I'd take them at just about anything at this point. What do you got, Eddie?
Yeah, this line has already moved 3. It opened at 19.5, and I think Vegas is still behind. I think they need to keep on. It's like the old the yodeler going up the mountain on Price is Right. They're at least a touchdown away before they find the end of this mountain. Like I think you said it perfectly. Nebraska is very bad, and OU is a whole lot better than them. Get the old big hate out there, which is fun, but I, you know, don't know how much that's going to mean to the kids. I think that's more a fan thing. But who that will mean something to is the boosters. And you know who likes pleasing his boosters? Lincoln Riley. I don't know what the team total is for Oklahoma, but I can tell you this much. Your boy is going to be on the over.
There you
go. OU loves scoring points, especially at home. And in a game like this, oh yeah, Sooners are coming. We're gonna go ahead and lay those.
All right, so we're both getting spicy there. The thing I love the most about this game, Eddie, is that it's the big noon game on Fox. Which, how do you not eject out of that?
No, this is fitting, because you're gonna get all the people who are wide awake because they've been up at 5 a.m. because they're all 75 fucking years old, who are horny for this game. Whereas anyone who's under 45 does not care at all about this.
Yeah, I'm going to have my attention on Cincy and Indiana. But also on this time slot, we got a fairly interesting game. And that is Virginia Tech heading on the road to West Virginia and a little bit of Virginia violence. 50.5 is the total. West Virginia favored by that home 3. Who do you got, Eddie?
I was really surprised that West Virginia was the favorite team here. And everything I've seen, Pluse has VTech winning this by 3. We saw the great upset win over North Carolina to start. I think VaTech is winning this game, so I will happily take the field goal here, even on the road. You know, West Virginia started out with that loss to Maryland. They beat the hell out of LIU last week. I had to look it up, and I would have needed at least 6 guesses to guess what LIU stood for. Do you know who LIU is, Ryan?
No, I have no earthly idea.
That is Long Island University.
Gun to my head, giving me 3 chances, you'd be giving me a funeral.
Yeah, I think I would have needed at least 6 or 7 before I would have even tried it. I did not think they had football up there on Long Island. But, yeah, granted, it is West Virginia on a home field drop day. Who knows if the magic will be in play yet? That's a little scary.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, that is a little scary, but here's the situation. Virginia Tech's better. Give me Vatech.
Yeah, I'm going with the Hokies as well, although I forgot about the home field magic angle in this one. But despite that, yeah, I'm going Virginia Tech. I like what they showed against North Carolina. The defense may be somewhat suspect here and there, but they were able to handle Hal pretty decent. And I know West Virginia is, I mean, they're functional. They're a functional football team. I'll give them that much, but I just don't know what this line's supposed to show. Is Vegas really trying to tell me that the ACC is like that bad on the whole in comparison to the Big 12? I'm just not seeing it. So I'll go ahead and take the ACC in this one. Go ACC. And now let's move over. We're in the 2:30 hour, and we got SEC on CBS for the last time. Bah, 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 bah. Bah, 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 bah. Alabama. 14.5-point favorite over Florida, who is at home in the Swamp. Total in this one is 59.5. And I like to apologize to Nick Saban before he drops a D's nuts on me. Look, I was high on De'Ara King. I know when I make mistakes. I know when I'm wrong. I tried to make up for it, and then I got fucked up on the live line. I thought it was going to help me out, correct my errors, but you know what? You just have to, you got to take the L, or in my case, both L's. Just say, you know what? I knew better. I've known better. I'm not going to do it again. I'm sorry, Nick. I'm going to lay every single point that is up there. Roll Tide. Who do you got, Eddie?
I hate this hook. I really do.
It's real bad.
I feel like every model, every report that I've seen has this around a one score game, but I don't give a shit. We're the tried and true roll with Bama until you have a reason not to is going to stay in play here. You know, Florida's still trying to figure out who they're going to play at quarterback. They've busted out two guys. Both have played pretty well. I kind of think Robinson's going to be better, but we'll find out. Meanwhile, we're week 3 and Nick Saban's already gone to the rat poison well. Once that happens, whoever's next is dead. Like that's Goku taking off the weighted clothes to just get that much faster after he's been getting his ass whipped for a little bit. This does not go well for you, Florida. I'm going to go ahead and lay it with the Tide.
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's just like, you could just feel like the seeding is like, we're not beating Mercer by a million immediately right now. They went like, they actually, I think either went 3 and out, or I remember seeing a pump before I turned the channel or something weird. I was like, oh, well, they're eventually going to die. And Mercer did, but yeah. When you already got Saban digging into the old well there, that's bad, bad, bad news for everybody else. All right, next up, we head over to the Pac-12 in the 2:30 slot. This one over on Fox and God's time zone, where Southern Cal, fresh off their ass whooping from Stanford, Jesus Christ, they are now with another interim coach. It is week 3, and we already have interim Southern Cal head coach in play. But thankfully for them, they're heading to the Palouse against Wazoo, meaning they are actually laying points on the road as an 8.5-point favorite. And you know, Eddie, there's very few times I actually see a game and I'm like, you know what? I really want SC just to obliterate somebody. It doesn't happen. But Nick Rolovich is such a fucking asshole at this point. This is me picking with absolute spite and rage. At that motherfucker, all he has to do, it's mandated by the state that he's got to get a vaccine, and douchebag still doesn't want to say, well, yeah, I'm going to get my shot. Yeah, just move on. Nope, he's just got to say, I'm going to follow the mandate. I don't feel like answering that question with the shot. I don't feel like answering if my coaches are going to get it. He is just such a fucking prick about this. I hope you get tarmacked. Let's have a chain firing in the Pac-12, all right? Southern Cal just lost their head coach. Go ahead and fire Rolovich next. And then whoever Wazoo plays the following week, let's just keep the ball rolling. Like, Southern Cal miserably, miserably failed. I don't know what the fuck happened. Maybe they have an interim boost. I'm actually legitimately worried about the headspace of that team. But they got talent. Rolovich is a fuckhead. Go ahead and give me the Trojans. Who do you got, Eddie?
Man, so fired up, he just went with the back-to-back picks. He wasn't even waiting.
Oh, shit.
I love
it.
I love it. My boy's on fire. Obviously, the focus here is going to be on USC getting blown the fuck out by Stanford last week. Clay Helton finally gets fired. A sad day for Notre Dame fans, but it is what it is. As you mentioned, Wazoo has had plenty of their own turmoil with all the Rolovich bullshit. The Puntcast's own Brian Floyd, I'm sorry, the Shutdown Fullcast's own Brian Floyd has been all over this from the jump. And like you said, it's not just the, like, not getting the shot. It's being such a petulant child about it all that it's so ridiculous. And it's not even a...
He's my kid that won't admit when he's fucked up.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's a lot of times where you'll get coaches or players doing this kind of shit where you'll be like, but they're winning, so we'll deal with it. There's no winning to go with this, so it's weird that they've let it go as long as it has. And look, they haven't looked good. They already lost to Utah State. They won by 20 over Portland State, which, I mean, yeah, Mike Leach lost to them in 2015, so I guess actually beating them is impressive, but that still doesn't exactly imbue a lot of confidence. SC's way more talented. We always love a good dead coach bounce. Yeah, that's more a NBA surety than it is NCAA, but we'll go ahead and lay it with the Trojans here.
Yeah, and not only has Rolovich been a fucking asshole with the whole COVID stuff, back in last season, he's got a former player that's suing his ass right now because he had a former player that dared to try to stand up for other players in unification and solidarity with players across the nation. He basically kicked the kid off his team for doing that. And now his ass is getting sued. So this guy, he's not worth it. Why are you doing this for him?
Yeah, he also sent all the texts about freezing that player out on his school-issued, which means state-issued cell phone. Dumb motherfucker.
Easy faux bait. Easy. Man. Like I said, if we do get a constant coach carousel right in the Pac-12, just a chain reaction would probably be one of the most fucking hilarious things ever.
That would be fun. Problem is that would require Wazoo to then beat somebody, which I don't know how often that's going
to
happen.
I think it could be a back-to-back and then it's over. All right, let's head towards some primetime action here before we get to the break. We're heading back to the SEC at 6 p.m. in God's time zone on ESPN. Georgia as a 31.5-point favorite at home against South Carolina. Eddie, I will cede the floor and make sure we get back on track here. Who do you got, sir?
You know, you got a South Carolina team that barely escaped Eastern Carolina last week. They only won by 3 late. Whereas Georgia put up 56 on UAB, a live team with their backup Stetson Bennett still in the game. Good to hear from him again. Again, looking towards team totals, I don't know what South Carolina's is going to be, but I'm sure as hell going to be pounding that under. If they get more than 3 points, I will be very much surprised. Give me the dogs.
Yeah, the total on this one is 48.5, so do the math, folks. 30-point-plus spread, 48. Yeah, we're not going to see a lot of scoring from them, but I agree as well. This mainly is like there's some morbid curiosity of can Georgia really do two back-to-back performances of actual modern football? We shall see. But yeah, South Carolina, real bad, y'all. Real, real, real fucking bad. EC, I thought they would have fucking had him. But hey, we can't get everything that we want this early in the season. But yeah, Georgia did everything. JT Daniels, if I remember correctly, was a little bit banged up. Gonna get him on the mend, get him ready for conference play. And hey, worst case scenario, they've proven the backup can score. So I mean, there should be points on the board here, and I don't know if South Carolina is going to have a defense to stop them. Like you said, Eddie, at minimum, I don't know how South Carolina puts points on the board. So basically what you're looking at here is can you score a touchdown every quarter and maybe get a field goal here and there? I think Georgia could do that, so go ahead and give me the dogs. All right, well, that is the first half of our usual 12 games. We'll be back with some more primetime action. Some former Notre Dame head coach, and we'll pick the Irish here right after this.
Loyal listeners, if you ever wanted to get a deeper insight into the Notre Dame football program from somebody that lived it as both a player as well as in the inside of the athletic department, we suggest picking up a copy of If These Walls Could Talk, Stories from Notre Dame Fighting Irish Sideline, Locker Room, and Press Box by none other than Reggie Brooks himself. Reggie will dive into everything from his time playing under Lou Holtz all the way up to the experiences of watching Brian Kelly lead today's Fighting Irish. And we are happy to extend a 25% offer off the book just by going to herloyalsons.com/book. Make sure you use the code WALLSND25, that's WALLSND25, when you make your order. Again, head over to herloyalsons.com/book. Use the code WALLSND25 and enjoy a great addition to your Notre Dame football library.
And we're back with the second half of the 12-pack here. And we are going to head over again to the ACC, specifically the ACC Network, at 6:30 in God's time zone, where Virginia and North Carolina will face off. Mack Brown and the Tar Heels favored by 8 at home. Eddie, who do you got in this one?
So, caveat, it's Wednesday night. The entire fucking world is on UVA right now. Which, I mean, they played Illinois and Bill and Mary. Okay, not really all that impressed. Obviously, Carolina had that loss against Virginia Tech, but they got the offense back running against Georgia State. I realize that first loss was bad, but you get Carolina at home. I don't know what anyone is seeing out of Broncos team that has this level of confidence. I'm going to take Tar Heels here.
Yeah. This one's really, really tough. And like you said, the whole world right now is on Virginia. And by the whole world, I mean the whole freaking world. 71% of the tickets, 97% of the money. And Vegas's reaction dropped UNC a point. That is a big old warning sign to me that there's that much on there, and I know it's early, but there's still 1,000 bets on this sucker. And apparently the Action Network believes, in some way, shape, or form, there's some big money over on Virginia. And Vegas hasn't blinked yet. Those buildings, they be tall, they be shiny, and if Vegas isn't going to budge, I don't think I should budge either. Look, yeah, that loss was real bad, and Virginia is not an awful football team by any stretch of the imagination, but you have to believe that North Carolina is a lot better than what they showed week one. You got to believe that Hal is able to put a few more things together, and I tell you what, maybe that line was real attractive at 9, and this is basically a single possession game. This is not a two-score game, so I'm right with you, Eddie. This line is weird. The movement, if anything, the lack of movement is what stinks on my end.
Yeah, and just to catch folks up, if they're new listeners or haven't been around that long, when we talk about the tickets and the money, we're using the Action Network app. And when we talk about the total number of bets, that's obviously not every sports book in the world.
Correct.
It's kind of a microcosm of the books that Action Network has connections to, which is very small percentage-wise of kind of the global. It's more, we use this as sort of a microcosm of the larger gambling world. So it is not that there are only 1,000 tickets in these United States of America on this game. There's a hell of a lot more than that. But just one, you know, new folks or people that aren't as degenerate as we are, who are, you know, real boiled in this stuff, little explainers to what we're talking about.
Yeah, and that is actually a question we get very pretty often. So good job, Eddie. Way to educate the people there.
And always said it's an educational podcast.
Yeah, and just in case you swing by the Action Network and you're like, wait, I can't see all this stuff. Yeah, we paid for it. So FYI, this shit don't come for free. And there's all kinds of stuff on there that even I'm not willing to pay for on there. They are quite in the know on some things. But anyway, let's move on and let's go to the main event on ABC at 6:30 p.m. over here in the great state of Texas will be Auburn and Penn State. Penn State is hosting Auburn above the Mason-Dixon line. This is a rarity, folks. 5.5-point favorite is Penn State. It is back to my pick. Eddie, this is real simple for me. Do you know who the starting quarterback is for Auburn?
Bosef Kennedy Nix.
Yeah, fuck that shit. I'm fading him every single chance I get. There's not a fuck. No. No. Not doing it. I know better. I know how this is going to go. And Auburn's defense hadn't looked that great. They're going to be in deep shit. The only thing I worry about is some bullshit that's going to happen because all of a sudden James Franklin's name is getting sniffed around the SC job for some reason. And he's going to fuck up late game management. A player's not going to trust him or some weird crap. And Auburn sneaks out of this one. The bottom line is Auburn's offense is ass. Penn State seems to have figured some things out. Their defense looked really damn good. So I'm going to expect that to keep going. Auburn probably won't travel above the Mason-Dixon line for another 100 years after this one. Who do you got, Eddie?
I, for one, would like to come out in support of James Franklin to USC. I think his game management, his X's and O's, and clock management skills would be a fantastic fit for the Southern California Trojans. That being said, yeah, we're on the same page. My notes literally start out, you want me to trust Bosef Nix on the road no. in an environment like the Whiteout game?
Oh my God. Man.
Not happening. This isn't Akron. This isn't Alcorn State. I don't give a shit if Auburn's been putting up points against these trash-ass teams. Penn State's live. We saw what their defense looked like against Wisconsin. And Penn State in a Whiteout, I promise you, I tried. I looked and I looked and I looked to see what their record was against the spread in Whiteout games. And I'm going to have to wait until Felica posts it probably tomorrow because I could not find it anywhere. But I remember Notre Dame going to Penn State for the Whiteout game, the first like full-on Whiteout game, and that was not a whole lot of fun for the Irish. I believe it was 31-10 for the good guys. So it's a rowdy atmosphere. And like you said, Bo Nix, nah, son. Give me the Nits.
All right, well, we're simpatico all the way down. Let's see if minds change here. Is 7 o'clock over in the Central Time Zone on ESPNU. Stanford and Vandy. Vandy, the home team, home dog, by 12 points to Stanford, flying high off their destruction of the Trojans. Eddie, who do you got here?
This game is a farmer that fell down a gulch and died, rotted for 3 weeks. Oh, just happened to be carrying a bunch of eggs that have now rotted and are pure sulfur, right next to a skunk den. If you watch this game, you have a problem.
I'm sorry. I'm watching it, Eddie.
This is beyond the sickos ha 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 pick. This is garbage.
I'm pretty sure this is the number one sickos game. There's a Twitter account that like is a sickos Twitter account ranking like the most atrocious games. Almost positive this is number one.
You know, beggars can't be choosers. A thirsty man in a desert, any water will do. You could take college football away for like 5 years, and I still don't think I would watch this game. Just a travesty against football. I hate the idea of laying 12 with Stanford, especially coming off the emotional like high that they just had against USC. But the only thing I hate more is the thought of taking this fucking Vandy team. They lost to Eastern Tennessee State. They should have lost to Colorado State, which I did catch the end of, and they got bailed out by some hilarious flags. I know Pete Sampson is giving Clark Lee updates every 10 goddamn minutes. Look, I loved Clark Lee a lot too, but he left us. If you want to keep stalking your ex-girlfriend who dumped you and stalk her Instagram crying alone in a bathtub with some candles on, go, you know what? Good luck to you. I don't give a shit. Fuck him. He's gone. Bye. Vandy's garbage. Give me Stanford.
Oh, wow. Eddie, so you were saying that stalking the Instagram in a bathtub with candles on? So that's what you're saying?
Of your ex-girlfriend, yes.
Okay.
That cheated on you.
So this is
she left you for somebody else.
This is a night game. Kids are out of town. Run me a bath, Eddie. Light me up the candles. I'm going to earn my number. Because, look, this Stanford team is nothing. I don't know what the fuck happened to SC besides just they looked and they had a touchdown score. I'm like, huh, well, shit, this one's over. This is a team that got abused by K-State. They're traveling across the other side of the nation. We got body clock. They're just lucky this game isn't in the morning. We still got jet lag, Eddie. I see that face. There's still jet lag.
That's not the body clock bit.
Hey, anytime you take a trip across two times, you know the worst part about the Vegas trip is coming back across two time zones and being, fuck this, I need 2 hours. It don't matter what time of the day it is, Eddie. Your body clock's fucked. I'm taking Vandy. I'm taking Clark Lee. There are going to be sweet, soft rock romantic love songs on in the Tex household. My wife's going to wonder what the fuck is wrong with me. I say, baby, I got Vandy. I got 12 points. And I sprinkled that money line.
Wow. Are you gonna spend an hour of practice trying to place the bet to visualize how to do it? Like Clark Lee has his guys visualizing shaking fucking hands for the coin toss?
Eddie, I'm going to visualize it. I'm going to earn my fucking number. And I'm going to, all those doubts, all that bullshit that you said, I'm going to take this audio that you had of doubting Clark Lee. I'm going to find a service that transcribes it. I'm going to print it out, Eddie. I'm going to print it out. I'm going to throw it in a trash can and light it on fire. Get that shit out of here. Get those excuses gone. We're not here for that.
You earn your number. I'm going to take your money.
Oh, well. All right, now I got to reset. The bits are done. I wouldn't expect it to be set up that nicely for it. So thank you, Eddie. That was great.
I could not be happier that the first combat we have is you being on Vandy this week. I feel a hell of a lot better than I did last week on our one battle.
Well, we'll see if we got a couple more coming up here. Because we got one of your favorite teams, Eddie. We brought him back. Oklahoma State, your fucking nemesis and a half.
My nemesis
is on the road against Boise State, and on the Smurf turf, the Broncos are a 3.5-point favorite. This game is 8:00 in God's time zone on FS1. Total is 54.5, and oh man, I should have set this up to where you picked first, but I just did my bits, and so here we go. Look, Boise has looked fairly solid, and that's what I'm going to stick with here. I really, really have some doubts about how good their offense can actually be, but I do not see, for the life of me, those Oklahoma boys going up to the Smurf turf and it being any kind of a good moment for them. It's a late game. They're in bed by this time. By the time the half rolls around, they'll be like, wait, weren't we supposed to kick off at 11 a.m. and be done? Shouldn't we be having dinner right now? Because the only time they stay up late is to pay bedlam, and this ain't no bedlam. I almost wonder if Boise has this little twinge of feeling left out in the cold. Why didn't you invite us, Big 12? You motherfuckers. You're going to get paid. I'm going to get paid. Give me Boise. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm on Boise too. I didn't think about the Boise being spurned. Here's the thing. Okie State's coming off of 2 1-score victories. Those massive Titans that they were able to destroy, Tulsa and Missouri State.
The true blue buds of the college game.
Yeah. The only thing that scares me here is early on, you got about 50-50 on tickets, but there's a lot more money on Okie State, which is always worrisome. Maybe some sharps know something that we don't. But I think that's more that T-Boone, in his will, has somebody go put down a couple hundred G's on Okie State every week, and that's throwing things.
Fun
just
fact,
to
the
fucking
actual endowment.
Yeah, that's how they fund the endowment. So I'm gonna. I think you called it right. Like, I don't see Okie going up to the Smurf turf and getting the job done, especially with as bad as they've looked so far this year. Boise got right against UTEP last week, which, fuck, UTEP. Where was that kind of a performance back when we needed you week zero
you
to complete the parlay?
Blew up our parlays, you assholes.
We'd have both be sitting like a grand richer right now if you hadn't fucked us. So
bastards.
Yeah, no. Give us a. We're both on Boise here.
All right, we got a little late night action. We got some Pac-12 after dark with a little future Big 12 mixed in at 9:15 God's time zone on ESPN. And before we get to this game, just a note: this is not the latest game, y'all. There is a Hawaii home game. Mahalo, everybody.
Televised too.
Televised at 11:30. No sleep till Honolulu, y'all. Just want to throw that out there. I was close to putting the bows in here, but I wasn't gonna do. No, that game looks awful, but I'm gonna watch it anyway. Fuck it.
Yeah, it is the perfect stay up drinking, watching football till about 2, and then throw on a movie and let's Eddie Drunch flicks. Like, yeah. I can't wait.
Like this is having a video game on while people are asleep in the house, and there's a football game on too. I might as well watch it.
But nothing better.
This will be going on around the same time. Arizona State heads over to BYU. We're bringing back another favorite character on this podcast. This is the first Herm pick, y'all.
Herm's here.
BYU finally got off the schneid in the holy war, delivered an L to both Eddie and I, and they are again a dog. Eddie, how do you feel about this one?
You know, everyone is insanely hype about Arizona State's offense here, but BYU, as they have many of the past years and as we saw last week, they want to turn it into a slugfest. They want to draw you down into the mud and make you wrestle. I'm a little nervous that there could be emotional letdown finally getting over that Utah hump, but I think that kind of a win is more of a motivator than anything. Like, that's a, we finally got that monkey off the back. We finally beat those bastards. Now we're playing with house money. Let's just go fucking shock the world. Arizona State, I know people are super duper hype on their offense, but you know, 37 against UNLV? That's not really the world beaters everybody thought, especially when I think they were favored by about 37 in that game. So I'm not ready to jump on Herm's train yet. Lord knows I never will be, but I've at least gotten over the auto-fade Herm because he's done a considerably better job than I thought he ever would. But yeah, we're going to ride with the Mormons, which never feels all that great, but give me BYU.
You know what? You hit a couple things on the head there, Eddie. Arizona State, they were favored huge in their first two games, the tune of 44 and 34 points.
Mm.
They obviously did not cover it, but in their first game, they only scored 41 points, so they didn't even get to what they needed for a cover and a shutout, and they did not have a shutout that game. And barely got over what they needed for the spread total against UNLV with just 37 points. And there's also a little bit of, you know, it's not quite a Rolovich situation, but Herb's got some shit going on, y'all. Let's not discount that either. I don't know how much it's actually affecting them, especially now that we're in week three. He's got two wins. This team's gone under twice. I am right with you. I don't see where this offensive powerhouse is supposed to come from. BYU is going to be more than happy to devolve it into a rock fight as well. You're going to go ahead and give me 4 points with the Mormons. There is the letdown potential, but look, they got to get ready for the Big 12, Eddie. They got to make their mark. They can't just take that big conference invite and then let it go to waste.
They got to get ready to take their first out-of-conference loss to Notre Dame in Las Vegas, baby.
Oh, man. Oh, name a date. Name a fucking date so I can book flights, make reservations. Just give me a damn date. Please. All right, anyways. But, yeah, I'm taking the fighting Mormons as well. Helps that this one's at home. You know, Herm likes to talk a lot about religion and stuff. I wonder if he has some hot takes on Mormonism.
I bet he does. I bet he does.
Oh, God, would that be a press conference and a half? Well, that brings us back to some time travel because we're going to head to 1:30. This game's actually going to be televised, too. You don't have to deal with Peacock's bullshit anymore. This is on NBC.
So wait, we might actually see entire plays? Jesus. I do. Before we get into this, I want to give Peacock a little bit of credit. They set up and then cut off the fucking insufferable fighting for halftime bullshit.
You hate children's... You enjoy children's diabetes, Eddie?
No, it's bad, but I don't give a shit. I'm watching football. I don't want to hear about it. Take your self-belating bullshit somewhere else. Send it in a recruitment email for more donations. You know, along with the other 7 you already sent this week. Shut up.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. I almost am thinking Peacock did what they could to make sure they never had to do that again, because that's the ticket. Talking over Jenkins' prayer was another ticket.
Well, I mean, having those guys on the field for the pregame during all the pregame stuff, like, how did you think that was going to go? That was dumb.
I felt bad for Corey, because you could tell he felt awkward about it, trying to whisper into his mic.
Yeah, I very much appreciated Corey busting out the Pounding the Rock reference. Because that is obviously son of NBA Hall of Famer and San Antonio Spurs legend David Robinson. That is a like Coach Pop mainstay for the last 30 years. So I'm glad to hear that passed down through David down to Corey. I really enjoyed that.
Well, back to the actual football game, where Notre Dame is 0-2 against the spread, the number that has bit Eddie and I in the ass twice. 7.5-point favorite is Notre Dame against Purdue. Total is 58.5. This line started at 11.5 in favor of Notre Dame, and has since come down a few points. And there's a couple things for me in this one. One, even though as bad as Toledo was, I've had some people smarter than I that talk about football on podcasts better than mine about how, you know what? Things were maybe not as bad as it seems. And even though things were frustrating, I still worry about Cone being a statue. We saw the flashes of Buckner. We got the ejection seat. We got that emergency break glass if needed button. We know where it is. We know it works. We know it can work. Now, heading over to Purdue, where Jeff Brohm, for a while, man, it looked like he was just going to leave Purdue on a resurgence. And the bottom has fallen the fuck out. 2-4 last season. This season, they're going to have a little bit of a rough time. They just lost their top running back, Xander Horvath. And he was also one of their top...
Xander.
They lost him. He's not just one of their top runner, but also one of their top receivers, too. That is a huge piece of the offense that's now missing. Now, Marcus Freeman has been frustrating, but that defense, as I said before on our recap show, they, for the most part, were giving up only field goals. That first touchdown was not their fault. The second one abso-fucking-lutely was. Maybe we're seeing progress. I don't know, but there's less weapons than Purdue usually has. They're going to have to do some massive adjustment. They're going to be... It's a little bit easier to defend them now without Horvath, but... Man, Notre Dame, it terrifies me. It really does. I really, really, really hope we get a heavier dose of Buckner, especially if that running game struggles. And for God's sake, use the right side of the line, because the left side is just, it's bad. I mean, go back and take a look at the big runs. Even Buckner in, Buckner not in, right side was where shit was working. Use that right side of the line. Make people think they can go abuse the left side. Make them call all their blitzes there and just go the fucking opposite direction. That helps a lot. Get away from your weak point. I think they can do it, Eddie. I am so glad when I actually took this line, it was at 7 and didn't have that god-awful hook. Because I'd feel a lot better about what I'm about to do. And that is, third time's a charm. For the love of God, guys. It's fucking Purdue. It's a hobbled Purdue. They literally only are bringing a big fucking drum that might be scary. And you know what they should do, Eddie? They should say you could bring the drum, but you have to fit it through the comically small visitor's tunnel.
The visitor's tunnel?
And if it doesn't fit it there, you can't fucking get it out.
Love it.
But yeah, look, Notre Dame, I am not expecting them to run away from Purdue, but I do honestly think that they could beat this team by a touchdown and a field goal. They got to be within 10 points of this thing. Please, I'm begging you, don't fuck this up. Otherwise, I'm going to be in a dark place where I am just going to have to fade your ass continuously until the morale improves for me. Give me the Irish, Eddie. Who do you got?
Purdue's looked solid to start the year. Had 9-point win over Oregon State. Obviously beat the shit out of UConn last week, but, I mean, you know, it's UConn. Obviously, we don't have the surprise effect. You mentioned the break glass in case of emergency with Buckner. What I thought was interesting is that several announcers, not only in the last game, but Greg McElroy, who helped call the Florida State game, mentioned, look, we knew they had packages for him. We were ready for him to possibly play. So it wasn't a, oh, God, everything is on fire. We have to try something. It was a, okay, we've got this club in the bag. Let's see what happens. The O-line is obviously a train wreck, which against Purdue, well, they like train wrecks, I guess. I started this podcast with the fact that I've lost pretty much all confidence in this team, and I do not feel – well, that's not what I said. I said I'm no longer confident the way that I was in this team to start the season.
You basically had said it's like, hey, guys, the unbridled optimism that I entered the season with bright eyes and innocence.
Yeah, I now – looking back, I now can figure out where the three losses might come from. That being said, I haven't lost all confidence yet. Don't worry, I'm going to be fading this team real damn soon. But it ain't going to be against the fucking trains. More like Purdue, bitches. Give me the Irish.
Oh my gosh, we only have one difference, and it's me in the bathtub. You're with on Vandy. Oh, shit. We're going to be tied next week, aren't we?
That's the hope. I mean, look, it's early in the season. I feel like early in the season, you and I kind of run a lot the same because we look at games a lot the same way, and there's just not that much info out there on teams.
And info against teams playing against teams with pulses, too. There's that.
Yeah. Now, am I terrified that I'm going against one of my own principles with the cartoon stink lines in the Cincinnati game? Sure am. But you know what? It's still early. Yes, we looked like dog shit last week. Did I leave a very long voicemail on my old roommate's cell phone last week talking about how much I fucking hate this team and how painful they are to watch? Might have. Was I ready to break something watching the offensive line be completely inept and try and figure out what happened to what should be a very good running game that I don't know if got a positive yard in the first half last week? Yeah, that might happen too. But it's Purdue. Fuck 'em. Notre Dame runs the state of Indiana when it comes to football. I don't give a damn about these trains. Rondale Moore ain't walking through that door. Drew Brees is walking through that door, but then he's going to take the slow, slow, slow elevator up to the press box because he can't help your ass either. Get the fuck out of here, trains. Hail, Gambler. Go, Irish.
Oh, wow. Quick dismount. I love it. Well, with that said, y'all, that's going to wrap up another week of picks for us. Make sure you subscribe to the entertaining and just genius that we ooze every week by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at.
Wait, where's that feed?
What?
I haven't heard the podcast that oozes like goodness. I didn't know that.
I should have known. I should have known.
Sorry.
Join us tomorrow night, twitch.tv/RollSons. There'll be a sim or some shit. You won't have to pay for it. You didn't even have to pay for it last time, apparently. We don't know what the fuck we're doing over here. RollSons.com/Discord to tell us in real time we don't know what we're doing. And HerLittleSons.com has stuff too. Till next time, go Irish, beat Boilers. Fuck.